You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Our hump show in the morning of your hump day. If you're one of those who works when the sun is up. I mean, it's so cliche, so boring. Although I bet you sleep better than I do, so I am envious. I will give you that. Tuesday was a bit of a recovery day following the back-to-back supersized football wild card days of Saturday, Sunday, and then, of course, the national championship in college football on Monday night. I really did do a face plant into the hump, if you will, on Tuesday and tried to catch up on my sleep a little bit. I didn't feel like I was much good for anything else, but I've got some energy now and looking forward. And we've had some real good discussions on this edition of the show. Everything from the NBA's decision to continue moving forward despite a rocky start to the season. I mean, they're not quite a month in, and there's a lot of players on COVID protocol list. There are games being postponed. There are even players themselves questioning, is this worth it? And then into the mix, you throw the NHL. Puck drops on the hockey season tonight. We can't call it 2021. We're just going to call it 21. It's a 56-game schedule. It's division realignment according to geography, and you only play those opponents in your divisions. Only three teams will allow fans. And Commissioner Gary Bettman has indicated that the losses will total in the billions. He actually made the distinction, not the M, but the B, the billions. So why is the NHL moving forward with the season then? It's a good question. You'll hear from the commissioner coming up. Five games to start the NHL slate. And I know a few of you are excited. I've seen a few of your tweets. And so it's good that hockey faithful will get back their favorite sport. I know there are teams that are displaced. For instance, the San Jose Sharks, not able to hold training camp in the Bay Area like they're used to. And a similar phenomenon is what the 49ers had to deal with in the final month of the regular season. So there's a lot that they have to work out. And there's going to be, of course, initial weathering of the storm. And I think that's what the NBA is going through right now. But the NHL and the NBA can follow the lead of the NFL, who survived an entire season without having a bubble, without any type of a bubble, and is now into the playoffs, one weekend down, and only seven games left. Can you believe that? Only seven games left in the NFL season. That blew me away as I was thinking about it on Tuesday. What? No way. What's life going to be like without the NFL? I always go through withdrawals once the season is over, and this one for me was even more significant and more special because there were fears that there wouldn't be football or it wouldn't be able to go all the way through. So I'm very thankful. I will never again take the NFL for granted or overlook what it means to get through an entire season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away $2.5 million prizes during Super Bowl 55 that could be used to buy your dream home. See rules and enter for free today at rocketmortgagesweepstakes.com. My goodness, that kind of money would pay off my entire mortgage and buy me half of another house. I don't have big houses. That's a pretty sweet giveaway from Rocket Mortgage. Couple of things that we've been talking about on this show that have to do with the NFL. You may have heard that the Seattle Seahawks have parted ways with their offensive coordinator. I'm hearing Doug Peterson's name pop up a bunch. You know, where will he land? He definitely will get another job because he's still a very talented coach and players really respect him. And you saw what he did with the Eagles initially with Carson Wentz. And he was an MVP candidate, but then when they had to switch to Nick Foles and they still ended up winning a Super Bowl and making the playoffs and another season after that. So Doug Peterson won't be out of work for long. The interviews are really they're starting to pick up steam, and a lot of teams have even finished their interviews now. But coaches that are involved in playoff preparation, they're having to schedule their interviews around their playoff games and their work days. And one of those, of course, is Arthur Smith, who was the offensive coordinator for the Titans, at least for now, but is now going through these various interviews. And Brian Daboll of the Buffalo Bills and other names that we've heard out there. Eric Bieniemy is a popular one too. And so we'll wait to see how they all shake out. But I'm excited to see some of these men get opportunities to become head coaches after they've waited such a long time. We'll do a lot more of the divisional weekend prep as we get closer to the weekend. But this is something I've been asking you, and many of you have some really interesting ideas. I was stunned to read that the supersized wildcard weekend saw a precipitous decline in ratings from a year ago. Now, we've seen this happen with other sports across the board. The NBA, the NHL, college football. I don't know if we have a sample size yet for college basketball. But we saw it with Major League Baseball, even in the World Series. We saw it with, say, the Kentucky Derby. We saw it with various NASCAR races. Once all the other sports came back, their numbers were off too. So really every sport and every TV genre is experiencing the same phenomenon where ratings are declining in a way that it's impossible not to notice. Over the course of the NFL regular season, ratings were only down an average of 7%. Now, maybe more for some networks over others, more for time slots over others. NBC's Sunday Night Football did very well. Other networks saw their numbers decline. But across the board, ratings only dropped 7% from a year ago with the NFL. And that's despite having games moved, despite no fans in the stands. Only 7%. For the entire regular season. But in this first weekend of the playoffs, which is when people are supposed to show up, even as casual fans, the ratings were down 22%. And a couple of things that I noted earlier in the show, the game between the Bills and the Colts, which started things out on Saturday afternoon, East Coast time, Eastern time, but it was certainly still morning, mid-morning, for those of you in the Pacific time zone. That wild card game is the lowest rated wild card game on record. The Bills haven't won a playoff game since the mid-90s, and they're setting all these records now in terms of offensive production with Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. I think it's a great story. The Indianapolis Colts, well, they may not have a lot of superstars that people know, but they have Phillip Rivers. And just the fact that it's a playoff game, and yet it was the lowest rated wild card game on record. Now, some of you have asked about streaming. Some of you have asked about, you know, various other outlets where you can watch games. Yeah, they'll produce a couple million viewers at most. So consider that Nickelodeon, with its simulcast of the Bears-Saints game, had 2 million viewers. That was a cable channel. So most people will still tune in to the most basic outlet, which is CBS, Fox, NBC, ABC. Those were the four networks where you could get your games over the weekend. Not as many people as you think stream. Some do, but you're talking only about 1.5 million at tops, 2 million to add to it. So the lowest rated wild card game on record was Colts and Bills. The highest rated game of the weekend was Bears and Saints, which I thought was really interesting. Now, the Saints were the number two watch team all season behind the Kansas City Chiefs. And so you have that element, certainly Drew Brees. Do not underestimate what a veteran quarterback, especially one that we think may retire, don't underestimate his drawing power. Same thing with, say, a Tom Brady, though he's not retiring. But a Peyton Manning, certainly when he was on his way out, or people thought he was. And so that game had, when you combine CBS and Nickelodeon, had 30 million viewers. But it was still way off from the window a year ago. 29%. The ratings were down 29% from the game in the same window a year ago. And yet that was the highest rated game of the weekend. Just amazing how much of a drop-off there was from 2019. And I really don't know why. Now, some of you have pointed to the fact that there are fewer bars and restaurants who are putting the game on their 30 TVs. And the way it works is it's not about the number of people who are watching the TVs. It's about the number of TVs that are tuned into these particular games. But if a sports bar maybe has 30 TVs, but because of limited capacity, only four of them are turned on, well, then there definitely is an impact on the ratings. But is that enough to cause the numbers to drop 22% from a year ago? Wow. A lot of you are saying that you have different habits, that you don't watch nearly as much sports as you did in 2019 or before that. Some of you are saying it's oversaturation. Judith finds me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, pure and simple. NFL numbers will come back when they don't schedule 18 hours in one weekend. Hard to schedule real life around that. Coach Palmer says low ratings are from bad matchups. Interesting. Bad matchups. I guess I'm inside of the sports world, so maybe I just don't see it the same way that you do. He says bad matchups, mediocre teams, division opponents. And then he says our pandemic days are the same. We play games. We binge watch TV. He says we're not into sports as much. Now, I don't know about the mediocre teams either. In the AFC, you even had a team with 10 wins that was left out of the playoff picture. But I'm asking you for your opinion, and I'm interested. Some of you are saying you can't afford cable now, or you don't feel like these sports seasons count. They're not the same as what they've been in the past. There's no fans. The seasons are shortened. Well, not the NFL. It was a full season, and it was right on schedule. And so I'm definitely intrigued to see the ratings from the first month of the NBA season or what it's like when the NHL returns. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, as I mentioned, you can also vote for TD of the Week. We've got a really competitive early voting going on. Some really great moments from Wildcard Weekend, even if you didn't see them. And on our Facebook page, too, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, quickly, with the commissioner of the NFL, we remember that Roger Goodell said, we're going to draw on the experiences of all the other leagues, the ones that played in a bubble, the events that returned that weren't in a bubble, the various protocols, the health and safety measures, the testing, all of that. And I think the NFL really benefited from that. Can the NBA and the NHL now benefit from having seen the National Football League operate outside of a bubble? Because there's no more Orlando, there's no more Toronto, there's no more Edmonton. And we're seeing the impact it's taking initially on the NBA. Guys are balking at the restrictions, like some did in football. But also we're seeing games get postponed. Now into this fray comes hockey. And Gary Bettman has said there was no way that we were going to be able to construct a bubble the same way that we did to wrap up last season.
What we ruled out from the outset was can't put the players in a bubble for 6 months. That's just not practical. So my hope is, with the extensive protocols we have, and for your listeners, there are 12 different protocols affecting all different aspects of what we have to do. 213 pages. They're on NHL.com if you really want to look at them.
Do you really want to look at them? 213 pages of protocols. But they were definitely committed to skating this season. They opted not to cancel the whole thing.
Obviously, there's a little more risk and there's a little more of a challenge, but we're committed to doing everything possible, understanding there's a risk, and we may have to deal with some situations on the fly, but we think it's worth it to the game and to our fans to try and get this season in.
Gary Bettman did an interview on Sportsnet with Tim and Sid, so that's where this audio is coming from. And he also addressed this idea that the league is going to lose billions of dollars this year, so why bother? And he was really consistent in his message, which is the fans need this. We want to do this for the fans. Not only do our athletes want to play, but we believe it offers a distraction. It offers an outlet. It offers some entertainment where it is desperately needed. And I feel like that's been pretty consistent from athletes in some of the leagues, though it is a hefty price to pay if he's accurate. billions of dollars lost. And according to multiple reports, there were some team owners who were okay with not playing in 21 because they felt like it wasn't worth the financial losses. But that wasn't the overarching opinion. And so they are moving forward and they are playing. And of course, they are having to follow extensive protocols.
We've been dealing with them strictly in accordance with the protocols. And in fact, even more, when it comes to either test positives that haven't been confirmed or contact tracing, our clubs have been erring on the side of caution and even in many cases going beyond the protocols.
That's how it starts out. But they finished up training camp, and now they're about to do the travel, and they're not going to be in bubbles. And we've seen that the NBA is dealing with this rocky reentry in its first several weeks. Major League Baseball had the same issue. The NFL did as well. If you remember, the Titans' mess was week four, into week five, where they were really the first team to experience an outbreak, where they had to have their facilities closed for a couple of weeks. Then it was the Patriots after that. And so there is going to be, you know, this storm that they have to weather. But like the NBA, the NHL is committed. And Adam Silver and his league officials with basketball are saying, we're moving forward because we feel like our athletes and our support staff are actually safer in a structure than if they were left without the responsibilities of being tested every day and having to follow these strict guidelines. But man, we're getting pushback from inside the league. Just last night, George Hill, following the game in Oklahoma City, was stating his concerns, but I think he was doing it in a respectful way. You can hear for yourself. But as the NBA tightens up its restrictions and is saying now no visitors on the road, you have to wear your mask all the time unless you are on the court, fining guys who maybe are even at family birthday parties. That's the latest with Kyrie Irving. There's a video of him at a birthday party with his sister. He's not wearing a mask. Can he be fined by the NBA? And so George Hill is one of those veterans who's wondering out loud whether or not it's worth it.
I mean, I'm a grown man, so I'm going to do what I want to do. If I want to go see my family, I'm going to go see my family. They can't tell me I have to stay in a room 24/7. If it's that serious, then maybe we shouldn't be playing. But, you know, it's life. No one's going to be able to just cancel their whole life for this game, and that's how I think about it.
So George Hill, as a veteran, I think is a respected voice. He's a point guard. He's a guy who's been on a bunch of different teams. He's played at the highest level. And to hear him say, similar to maybe a Mike Krzyzewski, if you remember, before Christmas, he was wondering out loud, you know, is it worth it to go through this? Why are we playing basketball? Maybe we need to reevaluate. And here is George Hill. And I think there are a couple of elements there. The idea that Kyrie Irving could be fined for being at a birthday party with his sister. And George Hill is saying, hey, if I want to go visit my family, you can't tell me to stay in a hotel room for 6 months. It's just not feasible. I have to live my life. And if it's that dangerous, then why are we playing basketball anyway?
We want to play the game. This is what we love to do. But at the same time, if we're casting all these rules of this and that, maybe they need to reevaluate what we're doing. If it's that serious where you're telling guys they can't leave a room. I just don't understand some of the rules as far as, you know, we can sweat 48 minutes with the guy next to us and the team next to us, but we can't talk to him after the game. It makes no sense for me.
And into this climate, the NHL will drop the puck on the 2021 season. So you can expect it to be a little bit rocky. There'll be some guys who test positive who have to go in protocols, maybe some games that are postponed, similar to what the NBA is going through right now. And I think it is tough. It's tough to adjust. The hope is that vaccinations will trickle down eventually, and maybe by late spring or even summertime, we'll start to see a little more normal hoops and hockey. But that's still the bulk of the season that will already be in the books. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, thanks for finding me, letting me know why you think the NFL ratings were down from Wild Card.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Steps up, pocket collapsing, he escapes. He's to the 40-yard line, 35-30, Lamar Jackson to the 20, leg race, 10-5. And he's pushed out of bounds at the one-yard line. No! Signal is touchdown! Lamar Jackson! On third and nine, he takes it to the house. And the Ravens an extra point away from tying it up.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jerry Sandusky on the Ravens Radio Network. One of the supersized wild card weekend games and one of the four candidates for TD of the week. So you can check out the options if you haven't seen them. There's a poll up on social media. After Hours CBS on Twitter or on our Facebook page, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Across the board, even with six games instead of four, the ratings dropped 22% from Wild Card Weekend a year ago, which is triple the ratings drop that the NFL saw during its regular season. Now we have Kansas City. We've got Green Bay jumping into the fray this weekend. You would expect that the games would be even more competitive because we're talking about the last eight teams that have a shot at the Super Bowl. Oh, by the way, really quickly before we get to your calls, Aaron Rodgers was a guest on the Pat McAfee radio show, and he was actually thinking about something completely different, not football.
One of my idols growing up was Alex Trebek, you know, and being able to be on Jeopardy years ago, even though my wardrobe outfit wasn't the greatest choice.
No, it doesn't matter. Everybody's dress is very bad on that show.
They're doing some guest hosting spots, and it's going to be released here pretty soon, but I have the opportunity to do one of those.
Let's go! Did you watch Ken last night?
No, I didn't see Ken last night. I was watching some film and checked in on the college football championship as well for a little bit. But I'm excited about that opportunity with Jeopardy.
Now, Jeopardy's declined comment. Apparently, Aaron Rodgers was not supposed to be spilling the beans. So he had to kind of issue a pseudo apology later. I really hope that Jeopardy doesn't now turn around and say, thanks, but no thanks, Aaron. I doubt it because he'll be a very popular guest host. But he was on the show as a celebrity in 2015, and he's often talked about how that is his favorite show, and he almost never misses it, and that Alex Trebek was a big-time idol of his, and he shares that with my Grammy Helen, who definitely misses Alex Trebek now. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Jim, who's in Cleveland. Jim, what do you think about the TV ratings being down for the NFL?
Hi, Amy. You know, I was only really interested in watching the Browns Steelers and the Bills Colts.
Okay.
And I know you said the Bills game was low in ratings, but, you know, I think the COVID-19 crisis has affected everything. And I know it's pretty obvious, but I think that's the bottom line.
Meaning people have changed their viewing habits or maybe don't care as much about sports right now?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I've heard that from a lot of listeners, and I can tell that even our social media is different, in the midst of these last like 10 months that have been pulling people in all different directions. I still feel like the NFL has survived relatively well. I guess my major surprise is that for the regular season, the ratings were only down 7%. So then why on this big, supersized, power-packed playoff weekend were they down three times as much? That's kind of the weird question.
Oh, well, I know. I don't on my cable package, it's pretty simple, but mm-hmm. I don't get ESPN. So I know most people probably do, but maybe that has something to do with it.
It definitely should for a lot of sports. Now, these particular playoff games were all on basic cable, but I would agree with you. There are a lot of people who have cut the cord who don't have the same cable access anymore. So that's also a good point. Jim, thanks so much for your phone call in Cleveland. Let's talk to John real quick in Alaska. John, what do you think?
Amy, I'm not a physician, but I think the nation went through a trauma on Wednesday afternoon and all day Thursday. And I think we were in shock. I'd be willing to bet that the ratings come back up this coming weekend.
Okay.
And I'll bet they were. I'll bet the Sunday night ratings were higher because there was some distance between that and what the nation went through Wednesday afternoon, all day Wednesday night, and all day Thursday.
So then you think, I'm sorry, just to ask you a question, you think that they were better on Sunday than Saturday because there was an extra day of a buffer?
Yes.
Interesting.
And I think the nation was coming out of shock.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people were obsessed with the news and what was happening. No matter which side of the political divide you were on, the nation went through a seismic shock and was in a state of trauma and was doing nothing but listening to the news for 48 hours. And it took a couple days to come out from under that.
Okay. Interesting. Well, that's a theory that I hadn't heard, John, but I'm certain that it's plausible for many people. I know for me, I was ready to get away from it. And so sports were kind of my outlet. But certainly I would agree that we've, as a nation, kind of been hit with some sucker punches, some gut punches. And at times it does take recovery from that. And maybe that means stepping away from media and social media altogether, which has impacted viewership across the board, not just with sports, but really every other genre. We're seeing ratings that are down, that are declining.
Yeah, the nation was in shock.
All right.
And didn't know what was going to happen.
Okay.
And you know, you're disoriented.
Okay.
With the news outlets and what's happening, you're finding out that people died on both sides.
John, really quickly though, I have to let you go because we're at the bottom here. I don't know, and I'm not making light of it, and I don't think it's political. I think it doesn't matter what side you're on that you care about what happened. But it's been a pretty traumatic year for the United States, and people have still been watching football. So I understand what you're saying. It was a big traumatic event, and maybe people were still engaged in what was happening in the nation's capital. But let's be honest, our nation's been dealing with trauma now going back to March. And people process it very differently, to be sure. I'm sorry I have to let you go because we are at the bottom of the hour here and I have to get to our break. But thank you so much, sir. Happy New Year to you in Alaska. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Coming up, a portion of my conversation with Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist Clay Matthews. If you missed it, he is tremendous.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
And the Browns will not have to snap the ball again. They will beat the Steelers in the opening round of the playoffs on a wonderful, wonderful wild card weekend. They knock off the Steelers 48-37. Kansas City, here we come.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jim Donovan thought it was a wonderful, wonderful wild card weekend. And I'm a little surprised because I thought the fresh blood, the new stories, the Browns, the Bills, the Buccaneers, some of these other teams that hadn't won a playoff game in ages, I thought that would attract more people to the TV. But as we've talked to you and producer Dave and I are discussing it, we kind of feel like it's a combination of things. Oversaturation, maybe people are watching the news. They aren't going to sit there for 18 hours over the course of a weekend. But also the fact that people have found different priorities and people are using other forms of entertainment to fill their time. Though I did not expect a 22% drop in ratings. That's triple what we saw during the regular season. I hope they bounce back this weekend because those people are missing some good football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. We'll get back to your calls also on our Facebook page or on Twitter. After Hours CBS, you can weigh in and you can vote for TD of the Week. If you missed my conversation with Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist Clay Matthews from earlier in the show, he was a treat and he was a hoot and he had some great stories. We wanted to share it again for our morning audience, specifically those of you who are fans of the Browns and the Falcons and remember him playing, or maybe you remember him playing against your team. He had an interception of Jim Kelly in an AFC divisional playoff game in 89. So it was really cool to talk to him, even as the Hall of Fame selectors are getting ready to make their final choices about the 2021 Pro Football Hall of Fame class. Clay spent 16 of his 19 years in the NFL with the Browns, so I started out by asking him how much he enjoyed seeing their playoff win against the Steelers.
You know, it was fantastic. The thing that stood out to me is I've had a couple boys that have played in the NFL, so you know I've been preoccupied with the Browns and really haven't been able to follow them. Nor did when I stopped playing. I was 40 years old, and so that the point I'm making is that's the first time I wanted to go back and play again for the Browns. So it was just an amazing game, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
It's a long time coming, yet the fans have remained so steadfast. What's special about Cleveland Browns fans?
I was drafted there back in 1978, and, you know, the world seemed a lot smaller back then, and I didn't know that much about Cleveland, and went back there, and just wherever I went around town, I would run into folks, you know, and they would. The thing is, they're very informed, and they were, you know, they weren't offensive, but they had some good opinions. So I had some good conversations at the gas station and the 7-Eleven and places like that, and really enjoyed them. That's, you know, as I think back, those were the highlights, were some of the conversations I had in the most out of the way place.
You recently had the opportunity to be inducted into their Ring of Honor. What was that experience like to go back to Cleveland and to do it in before a game in which your son was playing against the Browns?
That was a big day. To go back and to be honest, I think I was more comfortable when I had the pads and the helmet on than I was standing out there giving a form of a speech, but it was a big night, and they treated me very well, and I feel very much at home there.
We're spending a few minutes with Clay Matthews Jr., as people sometimes get it wrong, but you're the second Clay Matthews in your family, but the first one now to be a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which was just announced over the weekend. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So your daughter tells me it was a message that was left by David Baker of the Hall of Fame. What was it like for you to hear that message on your home phone?
Well, I came in and heard that, and I think my my temperature just started rising. And, you know, I've said this to several folks. I was one of those kids who was a big fan of the NFL. I was one of those kids who collected those little football helmets, the little plastic ones. And, you know, really, if you looked at me at the beginning of high school, say my freshman year, you never could have predicted that I would be a guy who would eventually make it to the NFL. I think I weighed all of 132 pounds, you know, and I was starting to lift weights and came home, and my mom was there. And now my mom weighed about 107 pounds, but she was wiry, and she was the women's champion golfer at the club. She could outdrive my dad. So wow. She challenged me to an arm wrestling deal. And I said, Mom, no, I might hurt you. She beat me. She beat me my freshman year in high school. And I walked, I remember it was at the kitchen table, and I just left and was, I don't know if I was disappointed. I think I was shocked. But I think I got some wiry strength from her. So I'll take that.
So then how did you turn that into a nearly 20-year career as a linebacker in the NFL from that humiliation, Clay?
Well, as it turned out, I was a late bloomer. And over the next 3 years, I you know, got a little bigger and a little faster, a lot bigger and a lot faster. And then, you know, I liked playing football. It's, you know, people will ask me, well, why'd you play? How'd you play 19 years? And football's—it's a very hard game. You're usually hurt, I would say, 90% of the time. Mm. You know, your first couple of years, you're just so excited about it and you love it, you know. And then it starts to catch up with you. But it never seemed to catch up to me. I mean, physically it did, but I always liked going out there, and I always got excited about it. And it, you know, it it never lost that excitement. Was able to play till I was 40, yeah.
So then when you think about quarterbacks like Drew Brees and Tom Brady and even Ryan Fitzpatrick, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, either in their 40s or late 30s, is it impressive to you, or you think, come on, these guys never get hit? They're not hitting anyone.
Well, I will say it's impressive, but they don't get hit that much. They do, though, but certainly their achievements are fantastic. And all I know is I can say on the last play that I played, on my last game in the last year, I got a sack on the last play. You know, go out on top.
Did you know that was going to be your last game?
I kind of figured it. I just finished my 19th year, or I was getting ready to finish, and the kids were getting old. We were still going back and forth, because when I started in the NFL, you went home. You would leave the town where you had gone to play, and most people would either go back to school or they would get some sort of temporary job. And I had done that. Gosh, you know, by the time it behooves somebody to stay in town all the time, you know, I was getting old, and I go, well, I only have about one more year, and that kept going on and on and on.
Did you hold other jobs then while you were playing in the league?
I did initially, yes, and then I went back to school. I went back and got my MBA, although I'm still a class short. I went for 3 years, and then we made the playoffs, and I couldn't finish it. It took me like 4 or 5 years to where I could get back to go to school, and at that point, I don't know, I got preoccupied with something else.
Can you imagine playing in 2020 when so many of these guys are having to separate from their families or at least stay safe in the midst of a pandemic? Could you imagine doing that?
Well, you'd be able to focus on the game, that's for sure. I think the hardest part would be playing in a stadium with either no or few fans.
Right.
And that really, I believe, is what makes, you know, football such a game that I'm playing linebacker in a guard pull, so here comes a 320-pound man running as fast as he can who's about to hit me. And common sense would say, don't hit him. But your job was to set the edge, say. And you'd go in there and you'd have to take him on full speed. And to a degree, the accountability in front of all the fans is what allowed you to do that. And I couldn't imagine playing without that electricity that comes from the fans week in and week out.
Clay Matthews Jr., now a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. After four rounds in the semis, he's made it to this final round of 15, but only five can go in to the class of 2021. And there's been this incredible push. I go on to talk to him about his family a little more and his sons who played in the NFL, but it's his daughter who's spearheading the campaign for him to get into Canton. And boy, has she gotten testimonials from everywhere. I also talked to him about the interception he had of Jim Kelly in the 1989 AFC playoffs. So I'd encourage you to get the rest of the interview. He's got such a wonderful personality. He's so humble. He tells wonderful stories too. And it was great to be able to spend 20 minutes on the phone with him. So on our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com, I'm going to share it. I know many of you have been voting where the fans can vote on the Hall of Fame website. And he's got this whole grassroots push that's stemming from Cleveland, which is pretty incredible. Coming up this weekend, the NFL playoffs continue on CBS. The AFC down to just the four teams remaining, of course. The defending champion Chiefs will host the Browns. Are they still the team to beat? The Chiefs, I mean, not the Browns. They're more of an upstart. Who takes the next step on the road to Super Bowl 55? You'll find out this weekend when the AFC divisional round plays out on CBS. All right, we're going to work in these two really quick calls, okay, because I want to give you a chance. But we're asking you why you think the NFL ratings were so far down over the weekend. Neil in Louisiana, you've got 60 seconds. Go.
Hey, real quick, the Saturday games, I think for the casual fan, the storylines were blown. So unless you were a fan of the team, like you had the Bills and the Colts, as hot as the Bills came into the playoffs, everybody expected them to just dominate the Colts.
Okay.
Bucks, Washington, same deal. Rams and Seahawks, both of them really underperformed toward the tail end of the season, so I think a lot of their steam got lost. Okay. Now, in the Sunday games, there was more dynamic storylines. Like, you had the Browns going up against the Steelers. They were coming in hot. You thought that there might be a chance for them to actually make that next step. The Bears and the Saints, everybody expected the Saints to just roll the Bills, which they did.
But that was the highest-rated game of the weekend, Neil. Bears and Saints was the highest-rated game of the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, and coming from Louisiana, I mean, that's just – I understand everybody down here watching them, but then you had, I think, all the dramatic, who would start? Would it be Taysom Hill? Would Breeze actually play and play effectively coming back? And then as hot as the Bears were, everybody thought that they could actually make this a game, coming in scoring 40 points in the last couple of games.
All right, well, Neil, you're giving me all the reasons why the ratings should have been higher, not lower.
No, because I think Saturday hurt them because nobody wanted to watch because they already had thought of the outcome. They already had a premeditated thing. Okay, well, I know, the Rams are the Rams are going to lose, the Bills are going to dominate, and the Bucks are going to just wipe the floor with Washington.
Right. Interesting. Okay, well, those are some interesting theories. Let's hope that this coming weekend people don't think the results are predetermined and already set in stone. Neil, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it from Louisiana. I'm sorry we didn't get to any more there, but it's certainly a discussion worth having, and we'll see how the ratings rebound over divisional weekend once you incorporate the Super Bowl champs and the very popular Green Bay Packers. If you haven't voted for TD of the Week, well, you got some time, but check it out on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. We are back tonight, of course, and we'll do more of this yammering on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.